Today's shir is Masechet Gittin Daf Nun Dalet. We will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. For Rami Drameir Adrameir Bidaraisa. In our previous shir, the Gemara had quite extensively analyzed the opinion of Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda about when a knas is put into effect. And the Gemara said that by the Rabbanon, Rameir's opinion was that by the Rabbanon, Chazal institute a knas because the Rabbanon need to be, Dine the Rabbanon, given that they're only the Rabbanon, need to be strengthened. And that's why Rameir instituted a knas by the Rabbanons. By the Raisa, he did not institute a knas. The only exception is Menasech, because Menasech is Avodah Zarah. So we speak about it, when we speak about Avodah Zarah, of course we have to be more careful, and that's why Chazal instituted a knas by Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yehuda, the opinion is that by the Rabbanons, the Chazal did not make knas. By the Raisa, they did make a knas. And by Avodah Zarah, even though the Raisa, the halach is that they Rabbi Yehuda says there's no need for knas because people are very strict when we speak about knas. And therefore, the Raisa, those were the opinions. But ask the Gemara, V'ramad Rameh, V'ramad the Raisa, I'll ask you a question, the Tanya on the Tei B'Shabbos, if somebody planted on Shabbos, B'Shogeg Yikayim, if he did it B'Shogeg, Chazal allow him to keep what he planted, B'Mezid Yoker. B'Shvius, if he planted b'shviti year, bein b'shogeg b'mezid, whether it was done b'shogeg b'mezid, ya'akad divra meyim. Rabbi Yehudaimer, b'shviyis, when it comes to shmita, b'shogeg yikayim, if it was done b'shogeg, he could keep it, b'mezid, but if it was done b'mezid, ya'akad should be uprooted, or b'shabbos, and if it was done in Shabbos, bein b'shabbos, bein b'mezid, ya'akad, it has to be uprooted. So if we think about this, Shmita is an Issa D'Raisa. And Rameir made a Gzeira B'Shogig even by Shmita. But we learned that Rameir, by a D'Raisa, does not make a Gzeira Shogig or Tumezid if it's a D'Raisa. Utamech asked the Gemara that, let's think about it, that according to your understanding, the Rameir said B'Shvius, both B'Shogig and B'Mezid, you have to uproot it. And we're going to explain that the reasoning behind Rameir's opinion, is that both B'Shogeg and by the Raisa, Rameir makes a Gzeira Shogeg or Tumezid. So ask the Gemara, Tikshlachi Gufa. We need to understand the Braisa in itself. Michti. The Braisa that we began today's shiur with speak about two situations. One is planting on Shabbos, and one was Shemitah. Both are derisas. So we have a much more fundamental question asked the Gemara. The much more fundamental question is that Maishno Shabbos and Maishno Shvius. Why on Shabbos and Shemitah, if they're both derisas, not treated the same way? Elo, says the Gemara, Hosom, Kiritani Tama. There, the Brice itself explains it. Why by Shabbos do I say that if you did a B'Shogeg, you could keep it, B'Mezid, you have to uproot it? So Rameir himself is asking the question that we're faced with. Why is Shemitah treated differently than Shabbos? And the answer is, because when they Shisra, Moin and L'Shvius. It's important to know what is the year? Because we know one of the halachas is Orla, that any fruit that grows from a tree in the first 3 years is Orla. And since it's Orla, it can't be used. And anything that grows the fourth year is Netarvai. When counting those years, we have 30 days in a year, the halacha is, that's considered a year. They mind in the Shabbosis, but there's no point in knowing a Shabbos. So since by Shemitah, we're going to be counting years. And once we're going to be counting years, we're going to need to know what was the year. So if a person, so we see something happen in a Shemitah year, because we see that the years that are being counted, one of the years was a Shemitah year in which something was planted, that will cause people to think that you could plant in Shabbos, but plant in Shemitah. Shabbos is not something, is not a day that's used in our count of years for Orla and for Avai. Since Shabbos is not part of that calculation, the Gemara suggests there's no problem in something happened in Shabbos, if it was done b'shogeg, for us to be so strict. Continues the Braisa, another reason where it may differentiate between Shabbos and Shemitah, Davacha, next to Yisrael HaShviz, Klai Yisrael were accused that Shemitah they don't take so seriously. And since they don't take Shemitah so seriously, that's why they made Gezeris by Shemitah even Shogeg. But Klai Yisrael are not accused that they don't take, they're not accused that they don't take Shemitah, the Shabbos so seriously. So ask the Gemara, my Dover Acher, why did the Braisa have to add another reasoning more than what we've already learned? Says the Mahachkamer. This is what the Braisa, this is what Rabbeinu meant to say in this Braisa. Hachkamer. V'chi tema, if you want to make an argument that Shabbos Nami, that by Shabbos as well, we should be concerned to know when is Shabbos. Why is it so important to know when is Shabbos? Because Zimnun de Mishkla Yoim Shloshim b'Shabbos. As we said, 30 days in the year are considered a year, as if a year has passed as far as Hilchos Orel is concerned. And if the 30th day will be Shabbos, so the person is going to start to think, if today is day 30, when was day number 1? And he'll realize that day number 1 wasn't Shabbos. And if he didn't plant it on Shabbos, he wouldn't have had 30 days. And that's why, even by Shabbos, the Gemara is saying, we ought to have a concern that a year that to know that people will see that it was planted on Shabbos and it doesn't have any repercussions. So because of that, so now that Shabbos and Shemitah are the same, as far as that concern is goes, Toshma Davach Nach to Yisrael al Shviz, Klai Yisrael was accused that they won't take Shemitah seriously, v'lenechtu al Shabbosos. So what we've accomplished is that we've been able to reconcile Rameyer's opinion, why even though Rameyer typically by a deraisa does not make a gzeira shoyig because of mezid, why Shemitah is different. But now, ask the Gemara, let's analyze Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda loikasha. What about Rabbi Yehuda? Why did Rabbi Yehuda make a knas? Why did Rabbi Yehuda say, as we began our shiur today, that anoteya b'shabbos, if somebody plants on Shabbos, why by Shemitah the Rabbi Yehuda not make b'shvius b'shogig yikayim? B'shvius is a deraisa, and we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda, whenever we deal with a deraisa, makes a shvius or to the makes a gzeira shogig or to mezit. Answers the Gemara: the answer of Rabbi Yehuda chamir l'shvius in Rabbi Yehuda's location. People took Shemitah very seriously, and therefore, if we're not going to make Gzeira B'Shogeg, we need not be concerned that because of that, people will be lax in Hilchos Shemitah. And the Gemara proves that. The Hudam Lil Chaveroi, there was somebody that lived in Rabbi Huda's location, Dair Bayarta. He wanted to embarrass him and said, "You don't have the Yichas of a Jew." Amalei, and the other person retorted, "Anol Achli Peri the Shvi Kavaseich." So we see that the biggest insult you could give a person is that he doesn't keep Shemitah. Toshma. Ochot Truma. If somebody ate Truma b'shogig, even though it was Tameya, even though the Truma that he ate was Tamei, Mishalem, he has to pay to the Kohen Chulin Truma. The halacha is if a Zar eats Truma b'shogig, the halacha is he doesn't pay value. He has to give the Kohen Peris chulim sukanim. He has to give them fruit from which truma was removed, and they automatically become truma. because the Torah, when it speaks about somebody eating truma b'shogeg, says v'nosan l'kayin es ha-kaydish. And that means that you have to give the kayin, explains Rashi, something that can be truma, and by giving it to him, it becomes truma. If, however, a zor ate truma b'mezid, he has to pay the value. So again, says the Gemara, if you have a zor that ate truma t'meya, mishalem chul and tahirim, he has to pay chul and tahirim. Shilem, if he didn't pay chul and tahirim, he pays chul and t'meya mahu. What happens instead of paying chul and tahirim, he paid with chul and t'meya? Omer sumchus b'shem rameya, b'shoigig, if he did this b'shoigig, tashlumim tashlumim, they will be considered, the chul and t'meya will now be treated as truma t'meya. B'smezid, if he did this b'mezid, ain't tashlumim tashlumim, and he has to pay chul and t'meya, and he now has to pay chul and t'hirim. The chum disagree, and they say, echad zeh v'echad zeh, in both situations, tashlumim tashlumim, the payers get the shame, they get the title of truma, and therefore they belong to the kayin. And then he has to also pay the chayzim sham chum tahirim. Vavinaba, and understanding this price up, the mezer amai, why did Chazal say that if you gave chulin, if you gave to chulin to meyim, it's ein tashlumim, shlumim, it's not considered acceptable, tava la bracha? Why is it that way? Why don't we view it this way? What was eaten was something that can't be eaten when the kayin's tamei. Truma tahira cannot be eaten when the kayin is tamei. Because even when the kayin is tamei, he's not allowed to eat truma tameya. Become a shamle, midid chazle b'meit tamasai, by paying him chulin tameyim, he gave him something that he could eat when he's tamei. This is the way to understand the braisa. If somebody ate truma tameya, mishalom kol dehu, anything that he pays will be satisfactory. If he ate truma tahira, mishalom chulin tahirim, he has to pay back chulin tahirim. And as we said earlier in the shir, they will automatically revert to be treated like truma tahira. Shilem chulun tameyim mahu. What is the halacha if he, instead of paying chulun tahirim, he paid chulun tameyim? Sumchasam mishim ramei b'shoigi tashlum tashlumim. It'll be considered acceptable, and the chulun tameyim will now become truma tameya, and it'll be as satisfactory to fulfill your obligation. B'mezid ain't tashlum tashlumim, because you gave the kayin something that he can't use, because truma tamei is not usable. Because if you did the wrong thing deliberately. In both cases, he fulfilled his obligation. However, he's going to have to pay again chum tayrim. What is the machlokes? The Ramei and the Chama are arguing, how do we treat a situation of shogeg that Ramei did not make a gzeira, and the Chachamim did. Now the Isser to pay back with Truma Tameya, says the Gemara, is only a Isser the Rabbanan. Because Midaraisa, as long as you pay back as much as you ate, it's satisfactory. And yet, we see that it's the Rabbanan, Rameya, and we said at the beginning of our Shir, Rameya says that whenever we're talking about a Rabbanan, we made a gzeira, Shogig Otomezit. Hachi Hashta, says the Gemara, is this case that we just discussed similar to what we've been discussing in our Shirim? Hasam, when the person paid Gavel Shlumi Chavin, the person had the proper intention when he did it b'shogig. A non naked v'niklasei, is it our job to make Zeris? But somebody who was Metama Umedama Menaseich, he had the wrong intention. And since such a person had the wrong intention, that's why we have to be stricter. And the Gemara brings another braisa that seems to speak about shogigot tamezit. Toshma, dam shenitma. If the dam of a korban became tamei, and therefore once it's become tamei, it should not be put on the mizbeach. V'zarkoi b'shoigig, if the kohen put on the mizbeach b'shoigig, hurtza. But the eved, it's acceptable. B'mezid, but if he did it b'mezid, loy hurtza. The halacha will be that the carbon will not be acceptable. The reason b'shoigig it's acceptable, because there's a concept that comes up very often when we're going to learn the kotcha mesechtes, of the tzitz is meratza. The tzitz is mechaper al tumas migdash v'kadoshav. So something was brought b'tumah, which it should not have been brought that way, but the eved, the tzitz is meratza. But the Gemara is saying that we can rely on the tzitz only b'shoigig. B'mezid loy hurtza. But if it was done b'mezid, then that we don't rely on the tzitz. Now let's understand something. Midaraisa, this blood could have been put on the mizbeach, whether it was done b'mezid, whether it was done b'shoigig. Why? For as we just explained, we can rely on the tzitz. It's the rabbanon who made the gzeira, and the rabbanon said b'shoigig, we're going to allow you to rely on the tzitz and eat that meat. And by mezid, we're not. What does that mean? We didn't make a gzeira of shoigig because of mezid. Now this din, as we just explained, midaraisa, we can rely on the tzitz. We're not relying, there's a new din, the rabbanon, that we should not rely on the tzitz. But here we're seeing that by this din, the rabbanon, we're learning that by the rabbanon, Rameya always makes a gzeira shoigig to mezid. That's how we began the shir. And here we're learning that the Rameya differentiates by din the rabbanon between shoigig and mezid. Amlach Rameya answers the Gemara. Rameya says, Hashem, hachi hasht. Again, this is different than everything we've learned. When we speak about metama, medama, menasich, the person had wrong intentions. Hacha, hasam, gavel, chaburika, b'chaven. But in this case, the person had the best of intentions. He wanted to bring a carbon in his bayach. A non-nekev and niknasei. So the Gemara again repeats that when a person has a good intention, then we don't punish him. And the Chasam Sofer explains that the same like we find that if somebody did an aveira when he really intended to do a mitzvah, we don't punish him because we very much pay attention to his intentions. Here too, we very much pay attention to the intention, and since we have to pay attention to his intention, this person had the best of intention, and therefore we can be lenient. I actually saw that the Paiskim used this concept regarding a question, Rachman al-Tzlan, that somebody was wearing tefillin, and the tefillin turned out not to be kosher tefillin. And he had worn those tefillin for many years. And the question is that person have to do something? Is he obligated in a kapara because he wore tefillin that he wasn't supposed to wear? So one of the reasons that there's some paiskim that are lenient in this situation is because of the concept that we just learned. This person meant to do a mitzvah. He put on those tefillin every day. And therefore the halacha is that when you intend to do a mitzvah, even though it turned out that you didn't do a mitzvah, you don't have to, it's not considered as if you did an aveira if your intentions were honorable. Tashma, the Mishnah says in Masechta Trumas, Hamaisa b'Shabbos, if somebody takes off Maisa b'Shabbos, and the halach is that on Shabbos, one should not take off Maisa. B'Shoigig, if you did it b'Shoigig Yoichel, you're allowed to eat that food. At the end of the day, but you took off the meiser, the food is no longer tevel, and it may be consumed. However, if you did so b'mezid, lo yoichel, then you may not eat. Now, the question here again is that taking off meiser is an issa d'rabbanon. And if Rameya says that by d'rabbanon with koizer, sure you got the mezid, why are we differentiating? Answers the Gemara again, the same concept. Hachi hashta, it's very different. The person who took off Meiser had the best of intentions, and therefore I'm not like him in Niknasei. However, somebody who's Metam Medam Menasech, we can't say that We can't say that about such an individual. Toshma, hamatul kelim b'Shabbos. The halacha is that on Shabbos we're not allowed to take kelim that need tefillah to the mikvah, and there are many reasons why not. One is Chazal were concerned that you may carry those kelim dalat amos and rishus rabim. Chazal were concerned that you may squeeze the water, you may squeeze it out, schita after the tefillah. Chazal were concerned that if the halacha were that you're allowed to take kelim to the mikvah on Shabbos, you may come to deliberately wait till Shabbos to take it to the mikvah, because Shabbos people have more free time. And by doing so, you'll use the kelim maybe during the week without tefillas kelim. And the fourth reason, which is the reason that's typically quoted actually, is because it looks like masakin keli. It looks like you're fixing the keli. Because until you take it to the mikvah, the halacha is that you can't use the keli. So Tashma Amatul Kalim b'Shabbos, b'Shoygig Yishtamish Behem. If you did a b'Shoygig, you could use it. B'Mezel Lo Yishtamish Behem. But again, this din that you're not allowed to do so on Shabbos is a din the Rabbanon. And we're saying by the Rabbanon, Ramei made Xera, Shoygig got the Mezit. Hachi Hashta, answers the Gemara, the same answer. Hasam Gavala Durimani Kamachavin. The person who took the Keli to the Mikvah on Shabbos had the best of intentions. And therefore, a non Lake of the Niknasi. There's an interesting question. Here the Gemara says, we're not allowed to take Maisra on Shabbos. Just like we're not allowed to take Maisra on Shabbos, we're not allowed to take Chal on Shabbos. So there's a question that many Paiskim discuss, what, particularly in Etzis Roh, with taking off Maisra, Chal is a Chiv deraisa. What is the halacha if somebody forgot to take off Chal from the Matzahs before Pesach? And now we're sitting by the Pesach, we're sitting by the Seder Pesach by night, and the halacha is, why? What can we do? So Rabbi Shul Leib Diskin says the following. He says that a cotton doesn't have the halachic ability to do a transaction. But we learned the Masechta in the Dorim that when he's 12 years old, if he has the proper intelligence, he can make a neder. Similarly, he could take off Trumas Amaisris. So Shul Leib Diskin says you should take those matzahs and give them as a gift to a cotton who's 12 years old. Since he's a cotton who's 12 years old who has the intelligence, it becomes his. And then tell the cotton that he should take off the challah. Because even though, as we just learned, we're not allowed to take challah, but a cotton is a cotton. He is allowed to take off challah. And even though normally we're not allowed to tell a cotton to do aveira, here he's doing the aveira for himself. We're not allowed to ask a cotton to do an aveira from which we shall benefit. Here, the cotton owns the matzahs, and the cotton taking off challah from those matzahs is doing it for his own benefit. So therefore, the matzahs will now have halachically been considered as if the challah was taken off properly, and therefore that would solve the problem. Says the Gemara. But now the Gemara was focused on Rameya, and now the Gemara begins to focus on Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, the Braisa discusses Dover Shebeminyan, which the halacha is that if something falls into Orla, the ratio of Bittel is a ratio of 200 to 1. However, if what fell in is a Dover Shebeminyan, something that's sold by peace, since it's sold by peace, it's Choshev. And therefore, the halacha is naflu. If the agoize orla fell in to other walnuts of orla, which are choshev, fall in v'nispitzu. So at that point, when they fell in, they're choshev and they're not bottle, and then they got cracked and they're no longer considered something significant, and therefore they could become bittle. The halacha is could become bottle. whether the person deliberately cracked those walnuts, or did it b'shogeg, the person who did it deliberately, his intention was to be able to have bittel here. The person who did it b'shogeg, echad shogeg v'echad mezid lo yalu, divir emei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef b'shimon oimer, b'shogeg yalu, if it was done b'shogeg, so right now we have the proper ratio, and the walnuts are not choshev, and therefore they become bottle. B'mezid, if it was done b'mezid, lo yalu. Ask the Gemara. Let's think this through. V'hocha. As far as the din d'oraisa is concerned, m'd'oraisa chabetrei bottle. M'd'oraisa, the ratio is roiv. That's all you need, as the Torah says. Achir rab m'lhatis, as far as the din d'oraisa is concerned, all you need is a roiv. All you need is a roiv. V'rabbanan, who the gozer, it's the Rabbanan who made the gzera that something that's choshev doesn't become bottle. And yet here, the Kakonis Rabbi Yehuda, we're learning that Rabbi Yehuda only says that we make a knas, shoygig otumezid, by daraisis. This halach, as we just explained, is a drabonon. And yet Rabbi Yehuda is making a knas even b'shoygig, says the Gemara. There's a different reason why Rabbi Yehuda is strict. Hasam hainatama, Rabbi Yehuda, why is Rabbi Yehuda strict in this case, even by shoygig, even though it's a din drabonon? Because Misham Dosal Arumi, the person could lie. He's going to say that he cracked them b'shagig when he actually cracked them b'mezid. And therefore, nobody will be able to tell the difference. And therefore, here, Rabbi Yehuda made a gzeira. So if that's the case, why don't we do this everywhere? So the Rishonim explain that when it comes to Isser, Chazal, there's an issa here of doing this. Chazal were concerned that somebody's going to do something wrong and say he didn't do it wrong. When it's only an issue of mammon, where it's a financial issue, we don't have that concern. But ask the Gemara, Rami Rabbi Yosi Ad Rabbi Yosi, but there's a stira in the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, the Tana Natishal, all of a Shakala Karim, Shnas Arvu, Menatias Acheris. We have a tree of Orlo or Kale Karim that got mixed up amongst other trees, and we don't know which one is which. Harezeh lo yilakit. You can't take anything off from any of the trees because we don't know which is the problematic one. Vimliket, if you did so, yalu b'machav b'masayim, it becomes bottle if there's a ratio of 200 to 1. Uvach lo yiskav lilakit. You're not allowed to have that intention because otherwise, if you know you're doing the wrong thing, then we can't let you benefit from it. Even if you did it intentionally, so we see that Rabbi Yosi is always lenient. And here, and in the previous brisa, Rabbi Yosi said, if you did it b'mezid, it's not acceptable. Answer the Gemara Itma law. We already know the answer. A person is not going to put his entire field, into jeopardy because of one tree that's oral amongst all the other trees. And therefore, this whole story where you have one tree amongst 200 trees or whatever amount of trees is a milsad loy shchicha. And a milsad loy shchicha like gozer rabbonim. Ken ki asu rovet amir b'yoychran, chazoka ena demoyis is karmim in tiachas. Says the Mishnah, kohanim shepiglu b'mishkan, b'migdash. V'koyin, when he was doing the avoda and bringing a carbon, he had a machshava to eat it in the wrong time, be makrivit in the wrong time. That becomes pigel. And if he did so b'mezid, if he had this machshava b'mezid, then chayovim, the halach is that the carbon will become pigel. So here we see that pigel is only applicable by kohanim. Even though the halach is that shchitik sher bizar, so why don't we say that if the person who brought the carbon, the Yisrael who shechted the carbon, had the wrong machshava, it would become pigel? So the Rishash and other achronim suggest that we know for carbon to become pigel, it has to be pigel throughout all four avoidas. Yes, a Yisrael could shech the carbon, but the halach is that shechting the carbon is the only avoid a kohen a Yisrael can do. Since that's the only avoider that a kohen Yisrael could do, a Yisrael cannot make a carb and piggle. The Chassam Sofer, in the Shas Chus Chassam Sofer, Yerudei Simit Samach Tes, quotes one of his Talmidim, why when a kohen did piggle b'mezid as Yichayi financially, he also did another avera. The kohen, and he quotes the Rambam, only has a right to wear Bigdei Kohuna when he's doing an avoda. The kohen has no right to wear big day kohuna when he's doing pigle. So he already did another avera for wearing the big day kohuna when he wasn't allowed to. And the halacha is that if you do an avera for which there's malchus at the same time that you do an avera for which there's a financial responsibility, the halacha is ein loike mishalem. You don't have to get punished with malchus and both. You only get malchus, kim leber derabim nei. So why would they have to pay? They're getting malchus for wearing the big day kuhuna. So the Chassam Sofer says, when does one get malchus for a kohen wearing big day kuhuna when he wasn't allowed to wear big day kuhuna? That's only if he put on the big day kuhuna, not for the purpose of doing an avoida. But if somebody put on big day kuhuna, he was already wearing the big day kuhuna, then he wouldn't get malchus for wearing the big day kuhuna, even though he wasn't wearing him when he was doing an avoida. The Reb Chaim Briska says the same thing. He says, it's interesting, the Reb Chaim Briska says that the Isser is putting on the beged. And here, he didn't put on the beged. He was already wearing the beged, and therefore, it's not an avera for which one gets, it's not an avera for which one would get malchus. The pasuk says, "Im ha'ochel yo'ochem v'b'sar zavach ha'shlomam v'b'sar zavach shlomav v'yoyim ha'shlishi lo yirotz ha'makrav oisoy lo yichoshev lo pigel yiyu pigel yiya." So the Yisvach Moshe explains this pasuk, that the pasuk is referring to an individual who, when he shechted the carbon, his intention was to eat it b'yoyim hashlishi, which no carbon ever could be eaten on the third day. And the question, says the Yisach Moshe, in understanding this pasuk, is how could that be the case? How could Kohanim do such a thing? So he says that a kohen, of course, is a very significant holy Jew. And he normally would not have a machshava like this. He must have had this machshava that the kohen, that the person whom he was bringing the carbon for, was a person who didn't bring the carbon with the proper machshava. So if that's the case, it's not really the kohen's fault. It's the person who's bringing the carbon's fault that the carbon became pigel. So explains the Yisach Moshe, now we could understand why if the kohen had this machshava, b'shoigig, he shouldn't be held responsible because it's not his fault, it's the person who brought the carbon's fault. Only if he had the machshava b'mezid, then it becomes his fault and that's why he's chayovim. Tanra Baron, Hayoisi Imer Vitaharis. There's an employer who has an employee that are working with Taharis. Vamaloi, and the employee tells his employer, Taharis Yisim Machnetmu. The Taharis that I was working with became Tame. Hayoisi Mevizvachim. You have a kohen that was working on a carbon. Vamaloi, and he tells the person who brought the carbon, Zvachim Shasisi Machnes Paglu. The carbon that I brought became pigle. In both these cases, Nemon. The person who says so is trusted. Avil, in the case the taris I did with you on that date became tamei, or the kain says zvachem shesisimach b'yoyim ploini nispagul, the kabbonis that I brought at that day became pigle and a nemon. And the question is, maishna reishi maishna sefer, what's the difference between these two situations? Amar Abayim. So says Abayim, kol shebiyodoi, when it's still in the hands of the person to make it tamei, when the worker is still working with it, and he has the prerogative of still making it tamei, the kohen still has the ability to make this carbon pegol neman. Otherwise, and that's the first case. The second case, he no longer had it, and therefore he's not neman. Rava gives a different teretz. He going to ask they've met one time, and the person, the kohen, the employee, said nothing. And then next time he says something, that seems to prove that it's not true what he said. Because of what he said, if that was indeed the case, why didn't he report it immediately? The fact that he didn't report it immediately is an indication that he's just doing it to tease him or hurt him. If somebody says to somebody else, the tarish that I worked with on this day became tamei. Also, tamei de Ravami, they came to Ravami with that question. Amalei, shur sadin, the halacha really dictates that in a neman, because he said it after the time, after he no longer had it in his control. Amalei, Rebbe, Amar Rav Ami, Rebbe Ato Emekain, is that indeed the halacha? Hachi Amar Rav Yochim, Shem Rav Yossi, Ma Esa, what should we do? Shatayim Nasei, that the Torah trusts him to say it. Ask Gemara, Hechem Nasei, where do we find that person is trusted to say this? Amar Yitzhak Bayevzina, Kain Gadol B'Yom Kippurim Yechiach. Let's think about the avoid of the Kain Gadol on Yom Kippur. The Che'amah Pigel, if the Kain were to come and say that the avoid I did on Yom Kippur was Pigel, Mehemen, he would be believe. Umanah Yadinan, how do we know what he's saying is true? Vaksiv, it says regarding the avoid of the Kain Gadol when he went into the Beis HaMikdash, he went into the Kodesh Kedosh on Yom Kippur. The Torah Kedosh says, V'chol Adam lo yeh ba'al moed b'voy l'chapa b'kodesh ha'tzeisoy. So if he's there himself, there was nobody that can know independently what he's saying is true. And yet, if he says it, we believe it. So we see that whenever he says it, it must be that he's neman. So Ramban says that, Ramban asks a question, how can we ask a question from Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, the carbon belongs to the Kohen Gadol. So since the carbon belongs to the Kohen Gadol, so when he's saying something, he's saying something about something that belongs to him. In our Gemara, the Kohen is reporting about something that does not belong to him. So there's two terutzim that I saw. One terutz that I saw is that not everything that the Kohen Gadol did, the avoda with on Yom Kippur, belonged to him. The sar shel tzibur did not belong to the Kohen. Another teretz is that even though it was the obligation of the Kohen Gadol to pay from his funds for the kabbonis, but it's not his own private carbon. What happens is that the carbon is his, and then after the carbon is his, through Hefker, Bez, and Hefker, it becomes the property of all of Klal Yisrael. Since it becomes the property of all of Klal Yisrael, that's why it's not considered as if it's his own carbon, that it's differently. Ask the Gemara, b'vdimel d'shamina d'pago. Maybe the reason the coin is believed is because we heard him say it's pigel. So some Rishonim, based on this Gemara, there's a question that pigel, how does something become pigel? Is it machshava alone, that the person has the machshava, or is it bedibur? So this Gemara seems to teach us that something only becomes pigel through a kohen saying it should be pigel. Just the machshava alone is inadequate. But then I saw that those say that it's not a raya, that it could be that pigel, it can become pigel even without you saying it. But the case here is that he said it, and that is enough that that should become pigel. Says the Gemara, Ilav the Mehemen, if not that he was trusted, the fact that he said it and we heard him say it wouldn't make it into pigel. Avgav the Sheminu, even though we heard the Kohen saying, I want this carbon to be pigel, it wouldn't be pigel. You know why? Because Dibble Basar Kamer, when we hear him make the statement, he made it after he did the Avoida. And after you do the Avoida with a carbon, it can no longer become Pilma. Maybe that we saw through the Kilak what was going on. And that's why we know it's Pigel, Kasha. So the fact that Rabbi Yossi said that Koyin on Yom Kippur is a Raya is really not a Raya. Says the Gemara, Udosl Kamedr of Ami Amalei Sevetar Shiksafti Laploini. The Sevetar that I wrote on behalf of somebody, Askrois, every time I wrote the Shem Hashem, Askrois Shaloi like Saftim Lashmam. The halach is that a Sevetar that's written, it has to be written, every Shem has to be written L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. As the Torah says, when somebody begins writing Sefer Torah, he has to say, I'm writing the Sefer Torah L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. And then, according to Shulchan Aruch, before every Shem Hashem that he writes, he has to say that he's writing this Shem L'shem Kedusha Hashem. The Beis, and the Beis Yosef says, the Raya from that is our Gemara. Amalei, Sefer Torah B'yadmi. So Rav Ami asked this Sofer, who is in possession of the Sefer Torah? Amalei biyad lokeach, the buyer has it. Amalei nemenat ol hafset tzchorcha, we'll trust you to say that you didn't do your job properly, and therefore you're not entitled to get paid. Viata nemen ol hafset Sefer Torah, but you can't be trusted when you say the Sefer Torah is possible. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya, ned the hafset tzchar eskaris. Why does he not deserve to get paid? He should get Schad Sefer Torah Kulam Hifsid. He maybe didn't write the Shem Hashem properly, but he wrote the rest of the Sefer Torah properly. Amalei ain't in the whole Sefer Torah's puzzle. So call Sefer Torah ain't asked Rishalai Ksuvas Lashman. Any Sefer Torah that wasn't written Lashma, that the Shem Hashem in those Sefer Torah wasn't written Lashma, the entire Sefer Torah ain't Shavu Kulam is worthless. Ask the Gemara, why don't we just take every Shem Hashem and write over it the Shem Hashem properly? Says the Gemara, Kanam, which Tana is Rav Ami following that this is not an option? Name it like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan, if a Sofer is writing a Sefer Torah and he comes to write the Shem Hashem, Neskavan Lichtav Yehuda, and instead of writing the Shem Hashem, he wrote the word Yehuda. V'tah, and then he made a mistake. V'lo hit by Dalad, and he didn't put in the Dalad. So he has the Yudke Vavke, but it wasn't written L'shem Hashem. What should he do? Mavel of Kumas, he should put on top of it a pen. Makache, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'chamamre, ein Hashem in a Mufcher. It's not the way to write Hashem. So we see that the Sefer Torah is not lost. You could correct it. Answers the Gemara, Fil Tem Rabbi Yehuda. At Kan Lekom Rabbi Yehuda, when the Rabbi Yehuda said that this would be an option, El Bahad Askar, if one Shem Hashem wasn't written properly, it could be corrected. However, the Kula Sefer Torah, to correct the entire Sefer Torah that way, Loi. Shem Mechsikim Enumer, because the Sefer Torah is not nice. Some of the words were written once, and some of the words were written twice, and therefore that would disqualify the Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, the Sefer Torah that I wrote for this individual, the klaf, I didn't prepare properly. And from here we see that the klaf of a Sefer Torah has to be made ibud lishma. There is a question regarding tefillin, what is the halacha, but by Sefer Torah, or everybody agrees that it has to be done l'shma. And the Rishonim explain what's the difference between Sefer Torah and Tefillin. Because the Sefer Torah, the whole purpose of a Sefer Torah, it's there for us to learn from. And it should be here, l'yamim rabim. It should be here for a long time. Amalei, so again, Rav Avuah asked him, Sefer Torah b'yad mi, who is in possession of Sefer Torah? Amalei b'yad l'keach. Amalei m'tayach sh'at anem l'hafzat z'charcha. Since you're losing, you're not going to get paid because the Sefer Torah is not done properly. So you'll be also trusted at the Nemel half of Sefer Torah. But ask the Gemara, Maishnam the Rav Ami, why in the previous case was he believed that he shouldn't get paid, but he wasn't believed to make the Sefer Torah apostle, and here he is being believed. Hasam, Iklamein b'tabedra yimriya. He made a mistake, and he could fix it, like Rav Yirmiya said. He thought that there's a way to fix it by writing the Sefer Torah, writing the words on top of it again. Ahacha, given the Kamasa Kule Agra, Vasa V'Omar, here there's no way to fix a Sefer Torah that was written on parchment that wasn't written on, that wasn't made properly. So if he said it, he only has what to lose. And therefore, Emor, it's a proof that Kushta Kamar, that he's saying the truth.